What's up, you guys? I'm B. Simone.
And I'm Megan Ashley.
And welcome to the Know For Sure podcast, where we talk about healing, growing, evolving, and having the tough conversations.
Yes, and we also talk about relationships, not just romantic relationships, but platonic relationships.
Like the relationship I have with my best friend, Megan Ashley, of 20 years.
20 years, baby.
Yes, baby. Do you know for sure?
I think I know for sure, but what I do know for sure is after this episode, you're going to know something for sure.
What's up, you guys? Did we do her back on the last episode? That doesn't matter. Oh my gosh. Hey, y'all. It's your girl, B. Simone.
And I'm Megan Ashley.
And welcome back to the Know For Sure podcast, you guys. We are here in LA. It's not as sunny as it was earlier. We're on our, you know, we bulk shoot. So this is our third episode today. We're knocking them out. We're getting y'all content, baby.
Yeah, because we got to get ready for this live show.
Oh, my gosh. So we're trying to knock this, we got to get ready for this sold out live show in Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah.
It's like,
so it's sold out. Yeah.
It did sell out.
In less than,
talk about it?
Less than 48 hours. Yeah.
All right.
1,000 people. Yeah.
Relax.
And y'all, what are we doing at the live show?
It's like y'all bought tickets and we have no clue what we're doing.
It's like it's sold out and we ain't got a show set.
That's gonna come.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, they're sure. gonna love it.
Mm-hmm. Carl's making the outline right now. It's fine. Carl is working it out.
Like, actually, Tony, are you available on February 22nd?
Like, Tony, what are you doing on Wednesday, 22nd?
I was going to ask y'all about that.
Okay. But we are here,
might
y'all.
See him again. Obviously, you guys, we have a guest today.
Yes.
And we don't have guests off. I feel like more, I guess now.
We have a little more now, but y'all know y'all love and we love solo episodes.
But you also love when we have men on the show.
Yeah, I love when we have men. I like to pick their difficult brains.
Perspective. And we have a man on the show that I've been following for a while on social media.
So cool.
There was one point in time he was following no one but his wife on social media.
Ooh, I love that.
We're going to get into that. Yeah. That really interesting. But we have Tony Gaskins here. Did I say
it
right?
Thank you. Yep.
Okay, I said it right. And you are a life coach.
Yes, right? That's what they call
that's
it.
What they okay. call it.
You know, but I don't like the term.
What do you define?
When someone asks me what I do, I just tell them I'm an author.
Oh, wow.
Because you have 2 books.
I've written about 20 books.
What?
Yeah.
So why do I know? Only, I'm said, like, why you have 2 books? Two?
I have an issue with promoting myself.
Wow.
Okay. So I've been an author since I was 22.
Wow.
I'm 38 now.
Okay.
I kind of do it and then I don't promote it.
Okay. So I asked you off camera, I'm like, what is the difference between a life coach and a therapist? Because I feel like they're like a lot, you know.
Right, right.
But are they the same or are they different?
No, they're totally different because a therapist is highly trained in most cases and they get certified by the state and they have to, you know, keep up with that certification.
Mm. Okay.
Whereas a life coach is more so what you would call mother wit.
Mm.
Self-taught. Mm. It's your pain.
Like from wisdom and what you've been through. Wow. Right? Wow.
Your mess becomes your message.
Okay.
So it's a little different. So, and then with life coaching, we can go deeper in the sense of if your story says to me you should write a book, I can do your outline, be your ghostwriter, help you publish it. Whereas when I asked my friend who's a therapist, can he do that? He was like, no.
No, I've just audited. Got you.
It's a little different.
Mm. Where are you from?
I am raised in Polk County, Florida, but my grandmother is from Alabama.
I hear the Alabama. I'm like, what country town?
You see what I'm saying? And see, I'm self-conscious about that because
it's nice.
I'm so
a little country twang.
I'm so
okay.
Country.
Yeah.
But doing TV and stuff like that, you know,
it's
they want you to talk proper sometimes.
No, so, that, I feel like that you makes talk you proper, you. But yeah, that, but you hear that underlying accent. Like, I'm like, what?
That's
cornfield
crazy.
Was you on it? What see, horse was
see,
you
riding? Your pawpaw saying?
It's people like you that make it worse.
No, I'm sorry. I'm from Texas. So people be like, oh, you got horses and cows. I'm like, right, I was in the hood.
It gets bad, though. Sometimes online, people will come on my page and be like on YouTube, oh, he sounds stupid.
No.
You sound dumb.
Wow.
You really get boxed in for having
an accent.
You get bossed.
That's interesting, though. That's interesting because I didn't take it as a negative. I love it. I think it's a nice accent.
I guess I'm kind of used to it because my family, like a lot of my family, is from Mississippi, so they don't have. It's a different accent, kind of. Yeah, right. But yeah. You know what I mean. Right. I'm just like, it sounds like home to me.
Yeah,
like it sounds like family. Yeah. It sounds like what I'm used to.
When I hear a country accent, I'm like, what's your story?
And you know what?
No, like you got some. What's in there?
Let me hear. Man with a countryer accent, yeah, like a strong,
yeah,
you'd be like, you got manners,
you know how to open a door.
It's like your grandmama probably raised you real good, or you know, like you got a good, you know,
upbringing.
It's crazy when I go to like New York and I say yes ma'am, they're like,
wild,
you from the South.
Wow.
I'm like, wow, yeah, they don't say yes ma'am in the big city.
Yeah.
Because so, we were raised with manners.
For sure. I'm nice.
Somebody raised you. There's a bunch of people unraised,
and that should be normal. Because I held the door for 3 men at a gas station the other day.
You can't get over it.
Wow. I can't, and it wasn't the other day. It was months ago. And I keep talking about it. And I feel like it literally was months ago. I hate it.
She says the other day every time she tells
the
story.
Every time I tell the story, I'm like, yesterday, these niggas. But that's wild. I literally held the door and 3 men walked through the door.
What do you think is the difference? Like, why do you think that there's such a, like, oh, I'm sorry, my mic again. Why do you think it's such a difference with, like, men in the South and just other, like, you can, like, women know,
like, oh, you from New York, oh, you from LA,
get you a Southern man or a Nigerian or something.
Yeah. Well, or an African.
The bad thing is it comes from slavery. So you know, in the South you have slaves.
Yes,
so
ma'am. No.
It's yes,
it's
sir.
It's embedded in,
yeah. Rice, yes, sir, no, sir.
Wow.
I remember when I went to Jamaica, my wife is Jamaican, and we were in Jamaica, and the guy, the driver, he said something, and I said, yes, sir. And he said, no, we don't say sir here. It's yeah, man. And I was like, and I called my dad, and I was like, hey, I need to stop saying yes, sir, because some people are offended by that. Mm-hmm. And he was like, son, that's, we said that in the military. That's how I was raised. It's yes, sir, no, sir. But it has opened a lot of doors for me.
Wow.
And it opened doors for my kids. Like, we have 2 boys. One is 15, and every person they meet say, your kids are the most polite kids I've ever met. And
that's so that upbringing.
It brings favor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we kind of need that in this day and age because, as you see, men getting wild today.
We were just talking about that earlier.
So that kind of brings me to how you kind of got started in your notoriety and almost a million followers on Instagram. You have become a life coach to celebrities, right? To athletes and different people like that. So how did that even begin? Like, how did that even start?
Yeah.
I was kind of like a, I guess you'll say the prodigal son.
What's that mean?
Meaning I went astray.
Okay.
So I was raised in the church from the age of 6. And then after, when I turned 18, I went to college to play football. Mm-hmm. And that first year, they ask you to red shirt. And so that means you practice, but you don't play. So my cousins, a lot of them sold drugs. So I'm up in West Virginia. I was like, man, I need to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
And I started selling weed. So I was selling weed out the dorm room.
Then you got caught.
I didn't get caught.
Oh. You got caught.
I had some other homeboys that they used to steal from stores.
Mm-hmm.
So I started stealing from me a store here and there. And the thing was, is the way you do it is you put the clothes on your shoulder like you going to pay for it.
Oh, so you about to tell all these niggas how to steal.
And then you run out the door.
He's like, and then you run.
You can't do it no more because it started happening so much. They, you know, when you go to certain stores, they have like the lock on the shirts.
Mm.
It's like a rope. Like if you
I've
go
seen
into.
It. Yeah.
Because the thing back then in Florida was still in jerseys. It was back when the basketball jerseys, you know, Fabulous, the rapper.
Yeah, yeah.
That was big. So that was a thing. So here I was selling drugs, stealing, and just acting out. And then 3 years into my football scholarship, I got kicked off. And I went home. I tried to work.
Dang.
It was just too hard, too boring. I went full time in the streets. And I was full time in the streets. And then I met my wife. And that's when I had to find something else.
Ooh, how y'all meet? You met her in the streets? She's like, ooh, look at that thug.
She was working in the mall. She was working in the mall selling jewelry.
Okay.
And she was a biomedical science major. She was on the track team. And I was looking for like a one night stand.
Mm.
And so she wasn't what I would necessarily pick as my wife, because I'm in the South. So my wife, she kind of lighter complected. And I was on this thing of, I was kind of looking for a woman about your color, about my color, because it's colorism.
Mm.
And my wife, she's Black Jamaican and Indian Jamaican. So she's lighter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But not. Okay.
My mom is her color though.
Okay.
Ironically.
Okay.
But when we sat down and talked, we talked for 6 hours.
The first time, the first conversation. Time. Wow.
And I realized when I got up, that was my wife.
Wow. So, how old
so
are you?
So men really know.
They know.
Yeah.
You guys, this episode of In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley, is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Really, think about it, guys. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Listen, you guys, I have been in therapy for a year, and it has helped me so much. I mean, tremendously, in helping me find what really matters to me the most. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/totality today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show. All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, just a quick announcement. Black representation in media is super important to our community as it promotes diversity, challenges stereotypes, and allows for more authentic storytelling. It helps foster a sense of belonging and can positively impact societal perceptions and breaking down biases. Tabitha Brown, Ava DuVernay, Viola Davis, Issa Rae all have made significant contributions to film, television, and media, paving the way for more diversity and inclusion. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths. I recently listened to an episode entitled A Taste of Freedom. This episode talks about Juneteenth and the day that the enslaved Texans found out more than 2 years after Emancipation Day that they were free. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR's Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices that are varied, nuanced, and Black. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. All right, guys, back to the show.
They know.
So y'all be acting like y'all don't know, but y'all know.
Right. Okay. Right. You know, you have a feeling.
So y'all know like instantly, or is it like after the first date?
It's not instant.
Or even if you don't know, this is my wife, you know she's different. Right. Like, I want to explore this feeling.
It takes time to compare a little bit, like compare and contrast. So what I realize about her is, okay, she loves the Lord. She's not arguing with me.
Okay.
So she's comfortable in her conversation skills.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I probably didn't say everything she agreed with, but she didn't debate with me.
Got you.
So it let me know that
she can talk.
She's confident. Right. And she was a great conversationalist.
Mm-hmm.
And so she also ambitious, biomedical science major in school. She wanted to be a doctor. So for me, it kind of just checked off everything.
So cool.
And it was kind of unfair to her because I was still like a grown boy. And so I was looking at her kind of like, man, I could be a stay-at-home dad. Because I could get out these streets and she going to be a doctor.
Oh, she going to be a good mom. God. She going to be a good wife.
I'll be at the crib right. chilling, watching the game.
Right. But
oh, my goodness.
God had other plans. And yeah. so I was 21 when I met her. She kicked me to the curb 2 months in.
Cause why? What you do?
Toxic. I was toxic, controlling.
Okay. Okay.
You know, I come from that. Well, hey, where you at? Mm. You at the mall? Mm. Who you with? Mm. That type of thing. And she was like, nah, bro.
We ain't doing that.
That ain't going to work.
Yeah. Mm.
So she kicked me to the curb. But 6 months later, we bumped back into each other. And then a few months after that, she got pregnant. And then a few months later, we got married.
Wow.
So it went, you know, rather fast. 21 when I met her, almost 22. And then we got married a few weeks after I turned 23.
Wow.
So I've been married since 23.
Jesus.
March of May, 16 years.
I'm going to meet my husband this year. I know it.
I believe you will. But this the thing.
He's like, yeah, this child.
He said, I believe
you will. But here's the thing.
It's good and bad, though.
I know. Because tell me.
A lot of times, men wait till you build your brand to a certain level. And that's the unfortunate thing. Mm. That's the unfortunate thing with women today who are go-getters. A lot of times you get a man that you wouldn't otherwise have really clicked with if you weren't who you are.
Mm. What in what capacity? You mean like?
In the sense of money and notoriety and like, meaning he probably would have liked you and said, oh, she pretty, but he wouldn't have been with you. But when you add notoriety and a trajectory, mm-hmm. now it's like, mm-hmm. oh, I could kind of ride her coattail, like a manage her. Mm-hmm.
So how is a woman supposed to know the difference between?
Because I feel like it's the opposite. The more successful I got, the less people be hollering.
Well, they're not gonna holler at you, but they watching you. It's just about being in position and being in the right place and right time. But also too, you still being watched. Mm. So it's
who watching? Say something.
It's a little more. Hey, be careful what you ask for. Be careful.
There comes.
Say something, y'all.
So what's
dang.
The difference between a man that? How do you know when it's like genuine?
Yeah.
For a man, like for a woman, how do you know when it's genuine? When he's genuinely into you, not
your looks or what you can bring, your status.
Yeah.
You have to ask yourself, is this the man who would have dated me in the eighth grade?
Mm.
And that's what a lot of times we don't do.
Eighth grade.
So our sixth grade, eighth grade, 10th grade self, mm-hmm. that's us in our purest form.
Wow.
That's us before the world has changed us and tainted us and before we grow into ourselves.
Wow. Okay.
So it's like, who would have been with me at that point?
Mm.
And that's why.
Okay.
That's why I would never leave my wife, because when I met her, I had nothing in my name other than a driver's license.
Wow.
And so I'm like, she likes me for me.
Yeah.
Not for anything who I else. Grew into.
Yeah.
Is that most valuable to a man?
No, ironically. Today, men are okay buying a woman.
Mm, Jesus.
Men are okay having a woman who only want them for money.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you see a lot of ugly men with beautiful women.
Ugly.
For sure.
And it's who like, ugly? Now you know. And it's kind of like, come on now,
it's
bro.
Like,
you
that
know
just,
that woman
that
is not attracted to you.
Ooh, you know she ain't attracted to you.
Right. It's something with your eye.
But,
ooh, your cocky.
I can't put my finger on it, but it's something with that back of that neck.
But he make millions. And so it's like, it's kind of like, guys.
But men don't, do they not feel an emptiness in them when they know that girl is just a trophy? She's just with them for money. She's just with them for status. And okay, we're going to play this role or whatever. Does that not make them feel not whole? Do they not feel?
They do. That's
okay.
That's why that type of man always cheats.
Hold on.
That's why we always hear about them. That's why we always hear about them cheating.
Carla said, now run that back again.
But when you think about it and you go down the list.
That makes so much sense. Lord have mercy.
Because he knows she is with him because of who he is.
If I didn't have all this stuff, you wouldn't be with me.
Right. So he doesn't want to be faithful to her.
So it's not genuine anyway.
It's not genuine.
Anyway.
Because you ain't here for pure reasons anyway.
Exactly. Wow. He's giving her what she asked for.
So what happens when you are pure and get cheated on anyway?
Well, see, the thing is,
because I actually like your ugly ass.
Right, you just happen to be ugly, and I fell in love with you, and now you cute to me.
I like you,
but your patch on your eye, patches,
cockard ass.
But the thing is, if you give him a chance before he has money, then that's the difference. But
they don't be knowing if you're really there.
Because we have very low self-esteem.
Okay,
like. 70.
Is that a men thing? A man thing? A black men thing?
Yes, men have very low self-esteem in the sense of we just don't think of ourselves that highly because we live with ourselves and we're around other men.
Yep.
So a real man is very humble in the sense of he doesn't think he's all of that. And so we already are under the ground and then the world beats you up more. And that's why we equate our self-worth to our net worth. And the less you have, the less you feel, the more you have. That's when you see guys get money. They all of a sudden have this confidence.
And it's switching
like,
up.
Right. It's like, why are you so direct now?
With your ugly ass. You want to go buy that Louis Gucci suit and you think you... I don't know.
It's like,
but I've seen men that are not that attractive.
Exactly like that.
But they have a lot of money. And now it's like, oh, they didn't got their teeth done.
That's all they flash.
It's like, look, I'm on this vacation. Da, 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 da. But I'm like,
it's look at me, look at me. But it's like, well, yeah, cover your face too. All that look at me, look at me. You need a facial.
Now, see, this is the thing though. As I'm analyzing men, one of the things that I always get in trouble for is people always say, well, who are you? And who gave you the authority?
So if somebody asked you who you are, what would you say outside of your occupation, your finances, and what you do?
If they ask me, what do? I say, I'm an author. I say, I'm an author. Then I say, I'm a life coach because they know of that.
But I'm saying outside of that.
And a speaker.
The deeper question of who are you?
I'm like a servant.
Okay. Okay.
I'm doing something that I don't want to do.
Okay. Ooh.
Like, no man wakes up and wants to give away the game.
Wow. Wow.
No man.
I'm doing something I don't want to do.
And that's how you know it's God.
And that's how you know.
And I have to do it.
Because I don't want to do it.
I have to do it. I've tried to stop, but it's so many toxic voices in the space. And it's so many guys lying. That it forces me to keep talking.
I ain't going to say it.
It forces me to keep talking. But I was a womanizer. And so for me.
So you know both ends.
Right.
You know both lives.
Exactly.
I feel like that a lot of times.
And see, the thing about it is what we call a lame, what we call a square, like they call me that now because of how I live. They call me a simp now. But before I changed my life, I was that guy in the sense of you're a football player. You okay looking. You got muscles. You got abs. You got a car. You got phones. You got everything that you need. And so I was sleeping with so many women as a broke man. Because of when you broke and you in college, your money is, are you an athlete? Do you have a car?
Are you popular?
From a decent family? Are you popular? So my freshman year of college, I went to a school that had 1,600 students. And I slept with 14 women in the first semester. And then 14 women in the second semester. And then 9 women over the summer break.
Lord have mercy. Get them spirits off you.
I was moving. but here's the thing. Where I'm from and who I was around, that was common. Like I was on the low
that's
end.
That's common.
I was on the low end.
Especially as an athlete. As a college athlete.
I was on the low end. I was on the low end because I had, quote unquote, standards. And that's why that's why I do what I do, because women are so gullible, vulnerable, and just do not understand men at all. So when I hit 21 and I started writing my book, it was called What Daddy Never Told His Little Girl.
Ooh, I need that.
I wrote it.
Did you bring us one? You didn't even bring a book.
I told myself 10 times, bring y'all a book. But I'm just not used to promoting myself.
Why?
That's what you do.
I just...
Instead of thinking of it as promoting yourself, you need to think of it as walking in your purpose, because that is healing for people, and people need that.
Yeah. Right.
Or promoting the truth.
Promoting the truth. Doing God's work.
Listen, it sound good.
I know, no, but I'm saying, I don't want to promote myself and talk about myself. Times. But
I'll meet y'all in Atlanta.
I need that one with that title. Yeah. What was it?
But now that
what
one.
What Daddy Never Told His Daughter.
Yes.
That was my first one. And honestly, I've tried to take it out of print. And a lady just emailed me yesterday. She tried to buy it, and they sent her some like science fiction book, because I tried to take it out of print because it was just too real and too raw. Because I was just coming out of the streets. I didn't have a filter.
Gave
the game. Yep. And the reason why I gave the game, because I saw the women closest to me, the women I loved the most, they were falling for 8th grade games.
Yep.
And I'm like, this crazy. And I'm like, I was that guy who was able to play the game at a high level, so let me give the game with the hopes that y'all will stop being cheated on and beat on and going through toxic, vicious cycles.
Really quick, before we move on, we want to share something super special with you guys. The inspiration from others drives us forward. Their resilience pushes us to excel, and their path navigates the way towards freedom. Ford is proud to celebrate Black history, not just this month, but all year round. They're committed to being the fuel for change, supporting Ford Fund programs centered around economic, educational, and empowerment opportunities for our communities to continue creating the future. Learn more at FordFund.org, built Ford proud.
And that's why I started doing it, and I did it before anybody. And now they'll call me such and such 2.0.
Because like, I started this.
Because a lot of guys clout chase.
Yep.
You'll see the fake relationship coaches in the comments on the blogs.
Yep.
Blog posts every day.
Yep.
Making a post to get thousands of likes.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't never seen me in there.
Yeah.
You ain't never seen my comment on a blog site, on a gossip page, Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I don't clout chase. But they'll clout chase and they'll run their numbers up, but be cheating on their wife.
Ooh, Jesus.
Or not have a woman, talking about love and relationships
Lord
for a living.
Lord have mercy.
And so it just kind of, it put a bad taste in my mouth. And that's what makes it hard for me to do what I do.
Because you don't want to get boxed in with everybody else.
And I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just,
and that's one of your quotes, right? Don't box me in until
I'm going in the ground.
Until I'm going in the ground.
I'm sorry.
No, when you box somebody in, you get so misrepresented in your craft.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not only this, or I'm not like that nigga.
Yeah.
Like, right. I genuinely want to do this for the love of, you know, giving people games so that they can have healthy relationships. And that's what our platform is about. Yep. It's about healthy relationships, not just romantic ones, but platonic ones. But, you know, who wants to get boxed in with people who just fake it? It's like those people who are like fitness trainers, but they got their body done.
Yep.
But now they're fitness trainers. Yep. It's like that's not helping me
at all.
Right.
Because I can never have that without
went through it.
Yep. Right. Yep. You know? That went through the truth.
For sure.
Yeah. Do you believe every man cheats?
Every man is capable of cheating. And
I say that because I don't believe that, but I know a lot of women, every man's going to cheat. I think that's one reason why they do settle, because I'd rather do this than, you know, he's cheating, but I got this, or I'd rather deal with cheating because I'm gonna have to deal with something, or, you know, like every man cheats. So, oh, well, like, he's cheating, but I don't believe that. But you said every man is capable. I want you to explain and go into depth, because there's women out there listening that truly believe every man cheats. So I'm gonna just take it, and he got money, he could cheat on me.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's a lie, because every man is capable of cheating, meaning that every man may desire a different woman after he has settled down with one woman.
Yeah.
But when a man taps into his purpose, meaning if he has children, if he gets a dream job, and that job comes with hey, you have to have integrity in this position. If that comes into his life, then he's able to transition from being what he thought a man should be, because we are taught, and when we're raised, the more women you have, the more of a man you are.
Lord have mercy.
So I was a cheater my entire life until I met my wife.
Wow.
And for the first 2 years of marriage, I still was open to cheating.
Wow.
I still was like, wow, oh, this is normal. Like, I still was thinking about if I meet the right person that I could cheat with, I'll cheat.
Wow.
But it wasn't until I tapped into my purpose.
Okay. Okay.
When you tap into your purpose, now you're responsible for something.
Mm.
Now you have something. And I tell people all the time, if I was a garbage man and I didn't see my children as my purpose, I probably would be a cheater.
Mm.
And to be honest with you, in my life, I never really meet faithful men until they tap into purpose, meaning they have a job that they have to be responsible for. Like, so, I know a lot of coaches, like sports coaches, who are faithful to their woman because they have these young men looking up to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of individuals with certain titles. Like, we look at a Barack Obama, we seen Bill Clinton, and it's like, here you are as the president of the United States, and they saying, you getting that sloppy toppy from this other woman as the president.
Jesus.
Then we see it. We see it with principals. We see it with police officers. They say a woman loves a man in a uniform.
Yep.
So the question is, what will make a man be faithful? And it's hard. It's hard. So when those women say that, I understand their frustration.
Yeah, their I understand it. Yeah.
But it's not true. It's just a man has to be at a place in his life where he says, this is bigger
more important than
this.
That. Right. Yeah.
And that always doesn't come with a certain level. That's not always a level of success, because I'm sure you've had men that you were, you know, life coaches to, who are very successful, but haven't tapped into their purpose, which is two separate things.
Yeah.
And I think for us as women, we have to be mindful of a man that's successful and a man that taps into his purpose.
Right.
Because those are two separate things.
Two total different things.
Because you can be successful and not be purposeful and be a cheater.
And that is what you just said is one of the most profound things that we don't understand. And that's why I say, let a man's character be his currency. Meaning, allow his character to tell you how much he is worth. Because there
like
are
a high value man, not based off of his net worth, but his character.
His character.
Because there are a lot of rich men who are broke, and there are a lot of broke men who are rich. What a lot of people don't understand is that no amount of money can buy character. But when you have character, you will eventually earn any amount of money. So before I had character, I was earning $20,000 a year, working 40 hours a week. Now I earn millions of dollars working 7 hours a week. Because when you have character.
She's like, 7 now hours I work, make millions of dollars kicking it with my wife.
Honestly, my family has a running joke that I don't work. Wow. Like my 8-year-old, my son said, hey, you going to be famous? He was like, yeah. And he was like, how you going to be famous? Like, daddy, do YouTube. He said, I'm going to do YouTube and coach clients.
Yeah.
But and my wife, she teased me all the time, like, you don't work.
Yeah.
Like, you don't. But it's because of the level of focus
and the work you did at
that
the beginning.
It takes
yep.
to be faithful.
Yep.
When you eliminate the energy that you expend playing
Lord
your woman,
have mercy.
Manipulating
Lord
your
have
woman,
mercy. Come on.
And you channel that into your gifts.
And your purpose.
And
all
your
that
purpose.
Energy wasted.
All that maneuvering.
Right.
All, the, all that all dodging that. And lying and texting and passcodes and I was asleep and all that.
Right.
And you could have been putting that into
your purpose.
Into your bank account and your purpose.
I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you.
Lord
any
have
man,
mercy.
Any man
Lord.
Who is lying or cheating can literally be 1,000 times worth what he is if he became faithful.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Guarantee it.
I don't know if y'all are taking notes.
This is deep. Do y'all understand what he's saying? If you are that good at lying and cheating, imagine if you put that energy into what you're supposed to be doing.
I'm telling you. That's how it works.
That's crazy.
Because you think that it got to be this separate thing. It's a different type of energy, or if it's a different type of thing. Nope. Like, you have the ability and the gifts to do what you're supposed to do. You pick and you make a choice. Yep. It is a choice. Yep. If you can go and connive and manipulate and sneak and orchestrate all this shit,
you're an entrepreneur. Nigga.
You're a fucking entrepreneur.
Make a business plan.
You really are.
Make a business plan, really, motherfucker. Your smart ass.
Right. Napoleon Hill calls it.
Jesus.
Napoleon Hill calls it sexual transmutation, or sex transmutation. And in this, what he's talking about is that some of the most successful men in the country have a beautiful assistant who they see every day, and they feel sexual energy, but they're not sleeping with her, but they channel that energy into their business.
Wow.
And
that's
so
another level
he calls
of discipline.
It sexual sex transmutation. And so I hadn't heard of it, but I had already experienced it. So when I heard of it, his book, Think and Grow Rich, I was listening to the audiobook, and I'm like, wow, he just explained what I have lived. So I know it's true. Because as a man, yes, your hormones are raging, and yes, you want to have sex all the time.
Yeah.
And you want to every single day, three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a broke
I'm
man.
Like, yep.
Yeah. And so
am I a man?
Yeah. It gets kidding. Like that. But then when you channel it, it's like, here I am with no college degree and over 50 streams of income, meaning assets.
Mm-hmm.
Me writing 20 books, me having 58 online courses. Those, each one of those is a digital asset. That's like owning a house. Me having over 1,000 YouTube videos teaching. Each one of those earns money. But I have the time and the energy to do it because I'm only focused on my family and my purpose.
Wow. That's beautiful.
And that's what I'm trying to get guys to understand, that this isn't a simp life. This is a real life.
Send me a simp. I don't care if it's a simp life, a corny nigga. I don't even want to say nigga no more. A man.
I don't
cornball
care.
Loser. DM me, cornball. Cornball sure. number two, cornball number three. All y'all, simps, whatever you want to call it. I
for
want
sure.
one of them.
100%.
Jesus. No more cool niggas talk to me.
None.
I'm sick of y'all.
We're
cool
older,
ones.
Y'all.
I'm sick of it.
That's funny.
So what would be, because I asked this question to Spicy when she was on.
Oh, relationship coach.
The relationship coach, Spicy. Whose responsibility?
Is she married?
She is married.
She married. Okay.
She is married. She believes in the family structure.
Masculine husband.
Yes. She believes in masculine and feminine energy in the home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Her purpose and her calling is to help you find your purpose mate and restore the family unit.
Family
having
unit.
Masculine and feminine energy in the home.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked her where we are now in the knowledge that we have, right, with men and women, whatever. At this point, whose responsibility is it on to start to reverse some of the
trauma
and
cycles,
the system that we have with men and women, especially in the Black community? How do, like, whose response is it on women to just stop accepting this shit? Is it on men to just step up and, you know what I mean? Like, how do we reverse what we've been conditioned to accept
think is okay?
Nowadays?
Mm-hmm. As a man, I always feel like if it's meant to be, it's up to me. And I feel like if we want to be the head of the household, if we want to be the leader, then we need to lead in love, meaning that we need to sacrifice and we need to walk in love and we need to exemplify the level that we want our woman and our children to see. But we live in a society today where men are waiting on women to change and for women to, quote unquote, lead the movement of, hey, you submit to me, you give me what I want. But at the same time, a woman still should look at herself and say, well, I'm going to be the change for myself.
Yes.
And I'm not going to accept this. And it's kind of, it takes us both doing our
the
part.
Work. Yeah.
But here's the thing. if you notice any post you see online, if it's speaking to the woman, all the women in the comments say, what about the men? Mm-hmm. If it's speaking to the man, mm-hmm. all the men in the comments say, what it's about like,
well,
the
women? Well, that's not mm-hmm. what this post is about. And it's about the women. Take accountability.
That's why we can't move forward, because Lord. Everybody is pointing uh-huh. the blame mm-hmm. and passing the buck. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to look in the mirror and say, let me change. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I can honestly say, as a man, when I changed, everything changed.
Yeah.
Wow.
When I changed my ways, then everything changed. My yeah. relationship literally is perfect unless I'm imperfect. Mm. The only time me and my wife mm-hmm. will get into something is if I'm in a mood. Mm. If I'm just not feeling good and I get an attitude. Mm. But other than that, a woman is a receiver.
So and a reflection of what she's
your
being.
Body receives.
A woman is a receiver. Yep.
Right. And yep. so
like we are a receiver.
Yeah.
Buddy,
so, old pal.
So you so means, frustrated with me and it's your ass.
Yeah.
Honestly, what it means is that goodness. You receive a woman receives and reciprocates. Mm-hmm. So she's only going to be at the level in her home based on the level her man is at.
Jesus.
So when you see a woman happy and glowing, it's because her man is in the right space. Mm. And then when a woman is just kind of barely getting by, it's because he's in the wrong space.
Wow.
So when we change
now, as
is
this
men,
marriage or is this just in a relationship?
This in a relationship,
okay,
period.
Okay, okay.
And it starts there in the relationship before marriage. Mm-hmm. But we're in a different type of world today where men are very feminine. Even so-called alpha Carla. Males. So-called alpha males, you know, they want to wear they want to have their back out. They want to have their chest out.
You like booty shorts. I'm sick of it.
booty shorts. They want to have more legs showing than a woman, ooh. More skin showing than a woman. Ooh. They want the woman to shoot her shot. Ooh. They want the woman to, you know, pay the bill. We living in a society
Lord
of...
Lord have mercy.
It's
what,
really...
What is happening?
It's spiritual
what
is warfare.
This? Okay, thank you.
That's all it
okay,
is.
Okay, okay.
It's spiritual
I'm
warfare.
I'm like, I need... What's going on?
That's all it is.
It's crazy.
It's spiritual warfare.
It's spiritual warfare.
Because, I mean, the Bible talks about that. It ain't about flesh and blood. It's about spiritual and principalities. Like, we are fighting things that...
Every second of every...
We don't see in person. Like, we are fighting shit all the time. And I think we get so caught up in what we're fighting and think that we're fighting each other and yep. it's not each yep. other.
It's
like
not.
We get so mad at each other
yep.
and
yep.
it's like, it's not even
it's not
that.
That.
It's mm-mm. other, it's a spiritual thing. Like
right.
you said,
yep.
like that is literally what it is.
It's not, on both sides though.
Yeah. yeah.
Because it's a lot of women who are becoming very masculine today.
Oh, for sure.
And it's a lot of women.
I battle with that sometimes.
As, are trying yeah. to lead yep. the man. And yep. it's a lot of women yep. who emasculate a man.
Yep.
And so there's this thing to where I said the other day, I had to turn off the comments, but I said, a smoking woman ain't cute. And I was just saying, like, you know, ain't cute in the sense of not bashing, but just a colloquial phrase mm-hmm. like that ain't cute. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of y'all ladies now, y'all smoking. Mm-hmm. But the smoking.
Are we talking about cigarettes or weed?
Just smoking in general mm-hmm. because.
Or hookah.
And yeah, just smoking in general.
I need to know what ain't cute about it.
I said that.
I'm gonna get a little high.
I said it's not ladylike, and a lot of ladies okay. got upset that,
that
I said ladylike
yeah.
as if there's not supposed to be a man-like and a ladylike.
Which is fine.
But we have, and the reason why I said that is because a lot of times, a lot of women who smoke from their brother, their boyfriend, their husband. Mm-hmm. They were introduced to it by their homeboys. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I said that, because I had just done a message to the men saying, y'all need to get y'all life together. Stop promoting all this weed like it's cool. Mm. Because I used to sell it. And I've never seen anybody stay the same. Because it is a drug. Mm. And it is ruining lives in the sense of, I work with college athletes and some of them can't play because they smoke. Mm.
Do you believe it's because of they have an addictive personality or like recreational? Or medicinal. What do you believe with that aspect of it?
Well, it's a gateway in the sense of anything we do is a gateway.
Okay.
Like you can, if have, you don't you control can have one it. Alcoholic beverage a week.
Right.
But then when stress hits you, then it could turn into two. And okay. then it's going to turn into three.
Okay.
And then the next thing you know, it's a daily thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened with me with like red wine. I hated the taste. Then I tasted it. Then I associated it with a stress reliever. Next thing you know, I was having a glass of wine every night.
Mm.
But my mind was telling me this is a stress reliever.
Mm.
And so we are living in a society to where we're becoming so addicted to things, whether it's alcohol, porn, marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
We are running from our pain and our problems and diving into some form of medication.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what it's doing is it's breaking us down mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and then it's corroding our relationships.
Mm.
Because anything you give your body or your mind over to, and it has the power to control you, it determines your level,
mm-hmm.
then you no longer have agency over your life.
Mm. I think that the idea of that is in more things outside of drugs and alcohol. I feel like people are addicted to social media.
Social media.
I feel like people are addicted to, you know, likes and comments.
For
I feel like
sure.
people are addicted to food. I feel like people are addicted to like shopping. I feel like there are so many things that people are addicted to. And I think I heard a quote one time that said, it just left my mind. But it was basically something like anything that causes, you know what I'm talking
about? You said this quote before. Causes you to, fuck.
I know. It was something about being alone with yourself or
not
keeps you from being with you, basically.
Something like that,
like being with you and your sober mind or just by yourself, anything that is an addiction. And so I feel like that can be in so many things, whether it's drugs, alcohol, whatever. I think that people don't want to heal
the truth,
face who they are.
Yeah.
And when you use these things to escape with what's within you, then that's when it becomes super dangerous. Like you said, oh, I had a stressful day. So instead of maybe journaling about it, I'm going to have a glass of wine.
Yep.
Or instead of maybe praying about it, I'm going to go smoke some weed. Or instead of, you know what I mean? And I think that's where the danger comes in, is self-medicating and replacing healing with
that thing.
That. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And here's a challenge for everybody who hears this, and this is something that I started to do, is to work out without music.
It's so hard. I've tried it so many times.
And so if you can,
you
do it once or twice a week.
Yeah.
To work out without music.
Just in silence. Yeah.
And just hear your thoughts.
Yep.
I would probably
and
cry.
Another challenge is to have a cutoff time for the phone where we put our phones down. If it's 10 p.m., 11 p.m., based on your life and your schedule. And then also to set a timer on your social media. So every day I went into Instagram and I set a timer so it'll pop up on Instagram and their little colorful wheel, it spins and it says time to close Instagram.
Mm.
Just to remind me. And even my 15-year-old son, he's into rap music now. I make him go work out without music sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's like, Dad, I'm not going to be able to do it. And I say, well, if you can't do it, then that's a problem.
That's a problem.
Because if you can't be at peace with you, if you got to drown out your thoughts, if you can't hear, I'm tired, I want to quit, and you can't overcome that, it's going to destroy you.
Wow.
And so we have to start fighting
the muscle,
fight.
Yeah.
To have more control in our lives. And I think that's what's going to have, that's going to change our relationships. Because right now, a lot of women don't know, or maybe y'all do, but most men today are addicted to porn.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's been the case.
I feel that,
and I feel like that
while.
Is not something that people talk about.
Yeah,
they don't. People don't talk about it.
Yeah,
and I went to work with a team, a basketball team, and it's at a Christian university, so I could talk about God, and I challenged them to stop watching porn.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach came up to me. He was like, "Tony, you're the first speaker in my 16, 17 years of coaching that has ever mentioned that."
Wow.
And I said, "You know why, coach? because as men, we want to be comfortable with what we do in the dark.
And it's okay. Everybody does it.
Right. Yep. We don't want to challenge ourselves in the dark. Mm. And so that's why I challenge men and women to stop masturbating. Mm. Go through a season where
you... How long? No, I'm asking a question. How long is the season?
This is the thing.
I'm not addicted.
Go through the season.
Okay, what's the season,
then
Tony?
Get the...
You like, how long is the season?
A day or is the season a week?
You do 7 days.
Easy. Okay.
Okay. You do another 7 days. And you keep going. And what you're going to realize is, you know what? This isn't something that I need. It's something I want. Mm.
Okay.
But what you also doing is you tapping into a level of self-control and discipline. And that's when my biggest breakthroughs came when I stopped masturbating. Mm-hmm. And I tapped into that level of self-control and discipline.
Yeah.
Because it's so normal for a man, especially when you get in a relationship, if your woman got a headache, she got a stomachache, her period on, you'll just take care of yourself. And I thank God I never watched porn. I know exactly what it is, what it looked like. I done seen it, but I've never sat down and just indulged in it.
Right.
And the reason being is because I grew up around addiction and seeing aunts and uncles addicted to drugs and alcohol. So I understood
that you could have an addictive personality. Mm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I stay away from it. But I challenge us as people to tap into self-control. Mm-hmm. And then utilize that in business and utilize that in your relationships. Because see, the thing about it is anything that we do that is a form of addiction, it gives us a release. And all it is just our brain dumping into our bloodstream dopamine or oxytocin. And so what happens is you could be repelling your husband because he sees a spirit of lust on you. Because your interactions with him is different because you get an orgasm from your battery operated device.
Yikes.
And so now your energy is different. Mm-hmm. And it might even steal from you because it may take that piece of you that would make a man attracted or make a man have that
Tony
natural,
coming here fucking up everybody.
That's crazy.
It's like, Jesus.
It steals from you.
That's wild.
The same thing of having a male best friend. It's like he unbeknownst to the woman feels the role of a man.
Yeah.
So now you really aren't even open to seeing who's seeing you. Because subconsciously the role is filled.
Lord.
So we gotta start cleaning up in our life and looking and say, what place are you holding?
It's time to do some spring cleaning. So what if somebody's listening to this and including me, Tony, I need it too.
I already know you need it.
I know I need it.
I could see it on you.
I need it.
I literally could see it on you.
I know I need it. But I'm saying, where does this person start? Where do we start? What's step one? What is my step one? After this conversation, what do I do?
So what you're going to have to
do.
What
is your website? How do I sign up for coaching? Now, I can't sign up for coaching with him. Because
let
he gonna,
him
okay.
finish.
No. You are. You
I need a coach
to,
that don't know me.
You
I
have
need a coach.
To. You have to take inventory in your life.
Okay.
And you have to evaluate everything in your life. And you have to ask yourself, what is this serving? What is this doing? And why?
Lord.
And do I really need it?
Do I need it?
And then you evaluate. And after you evaluate, you promote, you demote, or you terminate.
Okay.
Because you are the CEO of your life.
Okay. That's good.
So when you look at masturbation, if you look at pornography, if you look at weed or hookah or cigarettes, anything in your life that is feeding you, you got to get to the root of why.
Okay.
So what we need is we need good food, we need water, and we need sleep. And then we can use exercise. But after that, we have to evaluate what is this doing for me? And if I do this every day, all day, is it going to help me or hurt me?
Wow.
And when you start to look at things like that, then you start to realize what's really needed and what's not. And you start to clean up your life. But we live in a society that's so comfortable with mediocrity.
Oh, for sure.
And mediocrity despises mediocrity despises greatness. Mm-hmm. Like it, like they say, good is the enemy of great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's because, oh, you think you better than me. Oh, you can't hang out with us. Oh, you can't be around us because you don't do this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you too, even challenge yourself to not use profanity.
I know.
And that's a go sign. Through the season.
That's a sign.
That's
for
a
sure.
sign for sure. Your mom keeps telling that. Telling.
She's like, you need to just tell you the you're coming in the season where you got
yep.
to.
Yep. I agree.
That's sometimes a good.
Because when you think about it, it's like this. We call.
It feels good.
We call, and it's a release. Mm-hmm. And it's a release based on what you're lacking mm-hmm. or what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. But a curse word is profanity.
Yeah.
Which comes from profane. Mm. But yet what we see as good or the Holy Spirit or mm-hmm. any good is sacred. Mm. And you cannot mix the sacred with the profane.
Jesus.
And it's called a curse word
Darn.
For a reason.
It.
And so we all say that's a curse word.
Yep.
And that's why we don't want our kids to use it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
At 5 years old and 8 years old. So in essence, when we curse, we're cursing our life.
Wow. Mm.
Because it changes our energy because it feels good.
Wow.
And so now we're mixing the sacred with the profane, and we're saying that we want good to come to us, but we're profane. And so in order for a man to be a faithful man, a 100% faithful man, he has to elevate to a certain level of thinking. And men Jesus. At that level of thinking do not want a woman who curses, who gets drunk, or who smokes.
Why are you looking at me?
No, she turned her head.
I'm just kidding. But he's like, be Simone.
But
yeah.
I'm telling the truth.
Single Sally.
And this is on average. We say that there are exceptions to the rule. And a lot of women say, oh, well, my man faithful. And it's like, for one, no woman knows if a man is faithful.
Wow.
Because my wife, she know I'm supposed to be doing a podcast right now, but I don't have to be doing a podcast.
Wow.
I
wow.
could be having sex right now.
Wow.
No woman knows if a man is faithful.
Wow.
Because cheating is so easy.
Mm. And it can be so quick.
It takes 5 minutes.
Like a thief in the night.
I had a fiance before my wife. It really was a girlfriend, but I used to ask every woman to marry me. So I said,
how many
fiance.
Did you propose to?
All of them. It just was something I did after 2 weeks. And so I literally said, hey, I'm going to the store. I said, I'm going to the store. I went down the street to my ex-girlfriend's house. I said, hey, I'm coming to your house. I walked in. She walked straight to the bed. We had sex in 5 minutes. I got up and I walked out, and
Jesus.
I was back to the apartment in less than 25 minutes.
Jesus.
And that's the true story.
Did you bring anything back from the store?
I don't even think I brought nothing back from the store. I probably brought some milk or some soda or something, but it literally was under 25 minutes. And here's the thing. This woman had not seen me. She knew I went off to college to play football, and she didn't even ask no questions. Mm. Like, she didn't even have to sit there and talk.
Mm.
And she was not a loose woman. I'm the one who she gave her virginity to. So I say this to say that it is so easy for a man to cheat. That it literally is like this. And so that's why when women always make these arguments, oh, well, my man, he get high every day and he faithful to me, sister.
All right, girl.
Sister, you'll be surprised. And then a lot of women think their man is faithful with all of their issues, and they forget that faithfulness takes morals because that's a moral act.
Yeah, that's character.
So if your man's scamming, he definitely not faithful.
Wow.
If your man is getting high, it's a high possibility he's not being faithful. Mm-hmm. If your man get drunk on just random days, it's a high possibility he's not faithful. If he's doing anything illegal, 9 out of 10 times, he's not faithful.
Jesus.
And the 1 out of 10 that's faithful is because his thing too low, or he just don't have options. But if a man don't have morals, you really can't have good love. And that's what our society, our generation needs to understand.
Like, so what do we do?
I need to date a mom.
Lord.
This is the thing. What I tell women all the time. Because you are the receiver. Because you are the recipient. Because we have to get on one knee and say, will you marry me? God has given the woman all power.
Mm.
But the woman does not know she has the power.
How do women find their power? Because I need
to. Well, I'm going to tell you what women have tonight. To do is women have to listen to the voices that are pure, that are speaking life, and stop arguing. Because here I am, married and faithful. Both of y'all look pretty. And I ain't tried to hit on neither one of you. And I never will. But when I talk, women argue with me. That ain't true. Tony, that ain't true. My man faithful. And I'm like, listen, I'm telling you that I know what I know. And if women would just hear the honest voices, and it ain't a whole lot of them out there, and just realize your power. And I tell women all the time, if all women said a man has to cut off his right foot to have sex with us, every man will be one-legged.
For sure.
Because we do.
They saw it off with their freaking teeth.
But no woman, no woman believes that. But when you listen to successful men who are married, every one of us say, I owe my success to my wife.
I
would not be who I am, where I am without my wife.
Wow.
So when women understand their power, and when women go back to their righteous mind, not their diluted, diverted, perverted mind, but go back to your righteous mind, to where when you first started to envision love, did it make sense to you to have a man who gets high every day? Did it make sense to you to have sex on the first night? Did it make sense to you to share your man with another woman? All of these things come from perversion. But when you go back to your purity, to your innocence, to the beginning, and you look at what you thought you wanted, you got to stay with that.
Wow.
Because if you stay with that, guess what? He exists.
Yep.
Because no man is a man until he meets a woman. And what I mean by that is we elevate based on what is required of us. So if my wife didn't require elevation, I would have stayed in the streets.
Wow.
And that's what we have to understand.
Wow.
Okay, so when people say, who is Tony? You say, pastor. You don't say author. You say pastor.
Evangelist.
Holy, holy, holy.
Lord, have mercy.
I'm trying to be a servant. And I'm going to tell you, it's painful. It's hard.
It sure is.
I went through a season last year that I thought me and my wife were going to go through a divorce.
Wow.
Because I was so in a space of just... the weight of the world was on me. Because when you living right and you doing right and you a voice and you represent right and can't nobody find fault, that's when you attack spiritually more than anybody. And so I went into a space that it could have broke us because of what I was carrying. And I think that's what people have to understand about those of us who are in the light and we're speaking, that we carrying more than most people understand.
Yeah.
And it's not about being perfect. It's about being an example. And as we learn, we teach.
Are you going to give us a book?
Hey, I'm going to get y'all a book.
What do I need to start with out of 20?
I'm going to get y'all a book.
What's the first book for me? Tell me, I see it on you. Well, fix me, Tony.
What I spoke of today is in my book called A Woman's Influence. And my wife, she wrote that one with me. She wrote like 2 or 3 pages at the end of each chapter.
So cool.
And we went to through a space where she was like, man, I almost lost that version of me. And so I feel like that's what most women today don't realize, their level of influence.
Right, right.
In the positive power. Light.
Yeah, in a positive light.
Dancers know it. Escorts know it. They know their influence and their power. But outside of that, a woman feel like, oh, I have no power, so I got to let my man cheat on me. And I got to let him do what he want to do.
Wow.
I literally,
she's never at a loss for words, actually, ever.
Well, y'all tired. Y'all been feeling
No, it ain't that.
It ain't that. It's not that.
It's not. It's the level of, I think, transparency and just rawness. You don't get a lot of people that are unapologetically speaking truth and not sugarcoating it and just being like, no, like,
y'all need to step it up.
This is Men what need it to step is. It like, up. I'm not gonna, this is what I've experienced. This is what I know to be true. This is what has been tried and tested.
Yeah.
And no, like at the end of the day, this is what it is. You just don't get a lot of people that do that.
Yeah.
As, you know, it reminds me of my mom a lot.
Yeah.
But she ain't put together like me. She just said some shit to defend everybody.
She's like, I can't be on the podcast. Because I'm like, you sure can't.
You can't.
You got to give you a mom.
So, hey, listen, I know they ready for us to wrap it up, but I wanted to let y'all know, and that's why I came out here to talk with y'all, because you too will be at the helm of the shift in society. And you will be a very vital part. And so more than anybody who sits on this couch with you, y'all need to band together and hold each other accountable and to grow to a level that you've never imagined before. Because you are being used. But see, what God is saying is, don't misuse me. He's saying, don't misuse my name. He's saying, I'm calling you and I'm going to use you for something greater than you've imagined, but you got to be willing to change. You got to be willing to let go, and you got to be willing to grow, because the voices will be few where we going. And we have to understand that. And that's why I flew out here to sit with y'all.
That's crazy. Thank
y'all
you.
Y'all got to forgive me. Destiny in here.
The way you articulated that, I felt that. Like, I feel that that drive and that
responsibility.
Yeah. I feel that responsibility.
It feels very weighty. Like, sometimes like a pressure on your chest. Like, you feel this responsibility. And it's hard to put into words because you don't really know what that responsibility is.
You don't know.
You just feel it, you know? You feel, I don't know. You just feel it. I don't know how to express it. But it definitely feels like a responsibility.
But here, that we even have. Hearing a black man saying like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you seeing that in us, and that's literally what we strive for every single day.
Yeah.
And just hearing that coming from you was like, we're in the right place at the right time. We're doing the right thing. And it's baby steps, and we heal and grow and evolve. It's almost like a rush for it. But
it's an urgency. There's this that's what it is. It's like an urgency. Like, sometimes it has the potential of allowing my brain to confuse it with an anxiety attack, because that's how it feels. It feels like that, like the beginning of an anxiety attack. But I know that it's an urgency. Like, there's this like urgency that God is putting in
He's
us.
Like, come on.
Like, to now. And I said that before, like, it's like this now thing. And this conversation was just a reminder that, like, higher.
Higher. And it's higher. In you. It's what you want to do already. Do it.
Yeah.
You know.
Just even with the little things, like, stop cussing, stop doing
We've been
this,
talking about that for so long. You know, just the little, and the little things aren't little. But, you know, I just appreciate that, the way you articulated that. Like, I appreciate that. And I love you for that. And I thank you for coming on our platform and saying that.
Thanks
you know?
For reaching out, for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank y'all for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for coming. This conversation was great. I don't even feel like it was long enough. I have so many more questions. I'm like, you didn't bring a book.
How long we talked? 30 minutes or?
What?
Hour?
She's like an hour.
An hour went that
too
fast.
Long.
That went. We need to do. Yeah, maybe
we have to do a part two.
We'll do a part two.
We should talk to you about the live show.
Yeah,
because all them women, they need to. They need to know that there are great. I don't want women to give up hope on that. Mm-hmm. That there are great black men out there, and I think a lot of women are like, excuse my language, fuck it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, forget it. Like, I'm over it. Whatever, and they just. The bar is, like Brittany Renner said, the bar is in hell because it's just like, it is what it is. I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to take what I can get. And I want women to hear from the black man that they felt that they could have in eighth grade, the love that they could have in eighth grade, you know, that exists.
And not, I think what where we are now is like, people are, love is the afterthought. It's like, you want all these other things, and if I happen to get love in it,
cool,
then cool. But that ain't really what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just sad. It mm-hmm. sucks that that's where we are, that mm-hmm. that's where we've allowed ourselves to be conditioned to. It's like, no, I need a nigga with money mm-hmm. that can do this, that can mm-hmm. pay my bills, put me on, get me an LLC, this, that.
And if
that.
I like them.
I need to be popping. And if I happen to like them, you, fall cool. in love, cool. Mm-mm. But I know he going to cheat. I know he going to do this. I know he going to do that. But as long as I have X, Y, and Z, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And
if he has purpose, cool. If he knows God, cool. Like, no, those things come first, you know? So thank you for coming. Yeah. Before we go, though, we do have our last question. After this conversation, what do you know for sure? K-N-O-W. What do you know for sure? And what are you saying no to for sure? A hard no, a non-negotiable.
What I know for sure is that the three of us at least are voices of the new movement.
Yeah. Mm.
And that we'll be leaders on this next phase.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what I'm saying no to is spread myself too thin. Mm. And not having boundaries in the sense of not going where I know I'm not called to go.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
And that's going to be, you know, tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know for sure.
There we go.
That it is time to let go of some of my childish ways. I know for sure it's time to elevate. And those little inklings of things, you know, that's like, oh, okay, I know I'm supposed to. It's time to just start doing it. Start having the more self-control. Start having more discipline. And start really executing what you, how you know you can. You know, if I can be an entrepreneur, I can make $1 million. I can stop overeating. If I can be an entrepreneur and have run three businesses, three LLCs, and get real estate and be Simone Beauty and have my podcast, I can stop cussing. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If I can do that, I can do this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, applying that discipline and self-love to every aspect of my life.
And I'm going to tell you, most people will not want to see y'all grow.
Yeah.
And most people will not want to see y'all change.
Yeah.
Because you know what something is doing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what something is closing, mm-hmm. what doors it could be closing. But when you say, I'm going to change this, people say, oh, no, don't do that. I like you. Mm-hmm, I like mm-hmm. you with a filthy mouth. I like mm-hmm. you cursing like you mm-hmm. curse. I love when you smoke. Oh, that's mm-hmm. why. That's how we hang out. We smoke. Mm-hmm. What you mean you're going to stop smoking? People do not want to see you grow yeah. and change.
Yeah.
Because your acceptance of mediocrity makes them feel comfortable
yeah.
in their mediocrity.
Yeah.
So we have to understand that.
Yeah. Thank you.
What am I saying no to? I don't know. I feel like there are a lot of things that I'm going through in my head, like taking inventory of the things that I really just don't need in my life and just being more intentional about that. But I'm still thinking about like a no. I probably am going to say what I know for sure is that it's a journey and that, you know, being aware is probably the biggest thing. Just being aware of it and having the knowledge of, you know, or being intentional about doing better.
Yeah.
You know, be intentional about saying, dang it, when I want to say, damn it. You right. know, and just like being more intentional right. about doing those things. But no, I don't have like a no yet. I don't know.
Like K-N-O-W?
N-O-W.
Oh, an N-O, a yeah. hard no. Yeah, I don't have one either.
Yeah, but.
Okay.
But yeah, this is great.
Thank you for coming.
You got it. Awesome. Great. Yeah.
Are you coming to the live show? Say it on the mic.
Yes, I'm coming okay. to the live show, Lord willing.
February
22nd. February 20th. Oh my, is that a confirmation?
We got a verbal.
We got a verbal.
On camera.
y'all get that? Zoom in on his yes. Okay, great.
And he's going to have books for us.
Books.
Y'all got to remind me, like right before I'm about to leave, books. Tony, okay. get your books. Books.
Get your okay. books. Thank you for coming. Yeah. Where can the people find you before we get out of here?
Tony Gaskins everywhere. YouTube, okay. Instagram.
Okay.
We don't do Facebook. Ironically, my Facebook has more than my Instagram, but people don't do it.
Okay.
So Instagram and YouTube.
Okay, cool. Thank you for coming, you guys. This was another amazing episode of the Know For Sure podcast. Y'all, before we go, Carla just held up a sign. I'm like, the Know For Sure podcast. Check out our Patreon. Go to Patreon, you guys, for extra exclusive content, BTS, behind the scenes, all the goodies that you don't get on YouTube and on, you know, the audio. So go to Patreon. Patreon is Know For Sure Pod. Check it out. Make sure you subscribe. We love our chain gang. Everything first. Y'all was so mad y'all didn't get the VIP tickets to the show. We only had 100 VIP tickets, and it was gone on Patreon. Chain gang took it. So we'll see y'all at the live show February 22nd. I'm B. Simone.
I'm Megan Ashley.
And we love you guys. Thank you so much. Bye. See you next week.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Know For Sure podcast. Make sure you keep the conversation going and use our hashtag KnowForSurePod.
Yes, we want to see you guys share the hashtag KnowForSurePod on all social media platforms. We want to keep the conversation going.
And follow us on all social media platforms, Instagram and Twitter, KnowForSurePod.